And joining us this morning is District 6A Representative David Dill. Good morning, sir.
Hey, how are you folks doing?
Well, we're doing pretty well. The session is obviously over with, and let's talk a little bit. Start with the stadium bill.
Well, the stadium bill was signed by the governor. I'd say the stadium bill is going to build a stadium. and it has a funding mechanism. It has some circuit breakers in case the main funding mechanism doesn't make ends meet, so to speak, which is going to come from electronic pull tabs. Kind of a mixed bag on support on that, but it was enough, obviously, to get the bill passed.
Where do you stand on that?
There are circuit breaker taxes that will kick in if the money generation doesn't come to retire the bonds and various fees and expenses from that, which are taxes on luxury suites and some things like that. So that bill is really a glorified $1 billion bonding bill, going to put lots of people to work. And you know, one of the reasons I voted for the bill was because when I visit across this district, which is getting larger, as you know,
yes,
almost everywhere I go on a Sunday, for example, in any establishment or at a nursing home or hospital, a Vikings game is on. And the same would be said at the Twins in the summertime. I just felt that was really important to you know, provide that type of opportunity for people up north. Mm-hmm. But what some people don't realize is that there are millions and millions, north of $20 million in just personal income taxes that are generated from the players and the staff and the bat boys and those folks who get paid from both the visiting team and the home team. And if that money isn't coming forward, that's a direct hole in the general fund budget because income taxes go into the general fund. And so for every dollar that would be missing from the Vikings, 46% would be not available for health, schools, and 40% wouldn't be available for health care, which represents the percentages out of our general fund budget in the biennium. A lot of important things. It's a difficult bill. It's not probably perfect, and at some point the state will be back revisiting some of it again in future legislatures to tweak it a bit.
Well, close to home, recommendation from the Department of Commerce to the Public Utilities Commission about possibly in, I think, 2016, closing a generator here at Tack Harbor?
Yeah, that was not the news that I had hoped to hear. As well, it has an effect on Alaskan Energy Center over on the Hoyt Lakes range area on some of their generation. You know, the Tack Harbor has been a steady source of employment and a good source of generation of power for our grid system. And I'm hoping that that isn't a program that the Minnesota Power adopts. This is a recommendation from the Department of Commerce to the Public Utilities Commission. And we're going to be working with MP to better understand that. Of course, we're going to be defending generating the power there at Tack Harbor.
Wolf season, you sponsored, were a sponsor of the bill that wanted it to start with the deer season, and it did.
Yeah, that's what passed into law. You know, the one thing that I've had a lot of comment on, a fair amount from Cook County, is that they were upset that the legislature would intervene in establishing a wolf season, when in fact the DNR would establish the wolf season with or without us, because they have that authority. What they needed us for was to set the fees, because the Department of Natural Resources doesn't have the ability in rule or statute to set the fee for a license. So if the season would have gone ahead without legislative input, then they would have had to include it in a trapping license or include it in a hunting license, a small game license. And so now by this, we're charging a fee. We proposed a date, and we really didn't have much discussion on that at all from the original discussions way back in January, and they didn't push against the having it on the opening day of deer season as well.
Something about government shutdown, licenses and that kind of thing? I know that that's a concern of yours.
I fought very hard all session for the idea of having the fishing license and hunting license program continue on in the event of a government shutdown like we had last July.
Right.
I was for that for this reason, because in the Constitution, as you're probably aware, it guarantees Minnesotans the right to hunt and fish. And in the absence of a fishing license or a hunting license, we cannot legally hunt and fish because of statute. So my argument was, is if the Constitution says we can hunt and fish, but statute says we have to have a license, then by all means, the license machine should not ever turn off. That passed and made it to conference committee, but I got a unanimous vote against it in the Senate. And one of the reasons is that they were told by the governor's office that any lights on, that's what we call that stuff, lights on provisions, mm-hmm. that were in the bill would be vetoed. So it ended up that all of those lights on provisions in that bill came out.
What about voter ID?
Well, I voted against voter ID. I'm actually very much in favor of voter ID. But voter ID has got to be done so that it properly allows people the opportunity to vote without discriminating them or marginalizing them in the voting system. You know, I certainly don't think we should have people that don't deserve to vote. But the way the bill was drafted, this was a bill that you could not read. And so that is the reason I didn't vote for it, because the entire contents of the bill was the question of should you have a photographic government-issued ID to vote. Now, boy, simplistically, that sounds like a great thing. But then put it into practice. For example, in Cook County, you know, how many people vote by mail?
Almost everybody except in the city of Grand Marais.
Well, that's another reason I didn't vote for it, because there was absolutely nothing in the bill that told how that anyone would vote by mail. There was no provision in the bill that said who would pay for the mandates. Well, there wasn't anything in the bill. It was a question. Again, it was a bill that you could not read. And every time that the bill author, Representative Kiffmeyer, was questioned on it, she said, oh, well, after we find out if people want voter ID, then we'll turn around in the next legislature and we'll put all the details in to fill it in. And in the absence of any detail, the fact that I couldn't even read the bill because it really didn't exist, I voted no.
We've been speaking with District 6A Representative David Dill about the end of this legislative session. Thank you, sir. Talk to you again.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye.